Welcome, everybody. My name is Kent Seaton, co-founder of Athletes Touch with Justin Blaine. Welcome to the Tower of Power podcast that we've got coming at you right now. We're an exclusive community helping former pro and college athletes in the business world get ready to rocket fuel your ship, professionally speaking. I'm here. Justin, go ahead and take it away.
If you like great stories, sports, and success, you're in the right place. Buckle up and join us for a great ride.
Kerri Walsh Jennings, maybe the best female athlete of all time, and she lets our Athletes Touch community in behind the scenes, overcoming obstacles, some success along the way, being a role model and mom. One of the best stories we've ever heard at Athletes Touch. Enjoy.
All right, so Kerri, you grew up in Northern California. Talk about your childhood and growing up there and then how you got into volleyball.
Yeah, so I grew up in the Bay Area. The Santa Cruz Mountains was my home, and I'm one of five kids. I have a huge family, lots of cousins and aunts and uncles, and we all lived right next to each other. And it was the perfect childhood growing up in the Redwoods. Stanford University was 20 minutes away. You know, I grew up watching the Giants and the A's and the A's and the Niners and the Warriors, and I grew up in a sporting family. And so growing up, I played every sport. I have a brother who's 11 months older than me. And so we were basically sidekicks. And I know that was a huge part of why I am who I am, because I got to play with the boys. I got to be uncomfortable. And I got my butt kicked by my brother a lot. And he would just take no mercy. And I know that kind of pissed me off. And it made me tougher, which is a great thing. I started playing volleyball when I was 10. Fell in love with it, head over heels. I played 12 years of indoor volleyball, which was so fun, so amazing. I don't know if you guys have ever played, I know a couple of you have, or experienced indoor volleyball. The energy is incredible. It's so fast-paced, dynamic. I got to play in San Jose at Archbishop Mitty, which is an amazing high school. I went to Stanford after that, which was my first big dream come true. Got to be around excellence in all forms. Got to be humbled a lot. Got to just aspire and dream, because nothing's impossible on that campus. I played in one Olympics indoor, finished fourth. Again, pissed me off, left me wanting more. And then I transitioned to beach when I was 22. That was one of the biggest leaps of faith I've ever done in my life. For whatever reason, it was a very intimidating transition for me. Growing up near Santa Cruz and NorCal, I would just consciously avoid beach volleyball because I didn't want to feel like an idiot. My ego would get in the way and it just wouldn't let me be that vulnerable to try something new. But fast forward, you know, to 2001, and Misty May, currently Misty May Trainer, is looking for a partner. She was my childhood idol. She still is an idol of mine. And I took a leap of faith to try out with the best in the game, and it panned out. So 20 years later, here we are. I'm 41. I've been to five Olympics. Life is beautiful. I have three kids, an amazing husband. We're still alive in this time of COVID, you know, and life is good. But volleyball and sport in general has been the catalyst to so much of my life, mostly, and why I'm still going is for the personal growth side of it. You know, I keep getting exposed for my weaknesses and my character deficiencies, and that upsets me, and I want to work through it. And, you know, I need to be put under pressure to work through something. I need to go through pain to, which is lame, but that's kind of my catalyst to looking in the mirror, being like, okay, how can I address this? I want more. I want better for myself. Now let's go. And volleyball has always given me that kind of that mechanism to do that.
You talk about relationships and what they mean to you. You've had teammates indoor and on the beach. How we talk about relationship building all the time and how we're all teammates. We're all trying to help each other. It's not a zero-sum game. Talk about relationships and the importance in a sport that maybe people don't focus as much on the teammate aspect. How has that been important for you over the last 20 years?
It's everything. You know, it's just, I chose a team sport for a reason. You know, I think of Justin competing on the ATP and being a solo athlete for your swimmers. And that to me is so gnarly, you know, because it's such an intense journey to your greatness. And it's just to not have that, to be able to share in a teammate, that to me, I don't know if I can handle that. And so I feel like I went from such an incredible team sport in indoor, where you're one of 14, you're all looking toward a common goal. When things get hard, you come together and you keep your eye on the prize, and you get through it. And the energy is incredible. But then I transitioned to beach because I didn't want to be one of the herd anymore. I wanted to be more autonomous. I wanted to make my own schedule, and I wanted to live and die more on my own output. You know, and that's what beach affords you, plus the lifestyle. And to me, beach volleyball is one of the most incredible team sports, you know, because the individual is so important. And so therefore I need to show up every day. Otherwise I'm leaving my partner out to dry and I am accountable. And I have so much responsibility for my side of the court and my side of the relationship. And yet I'm so vulnerable and I'm so in need of having a great relationship with my partner. And I need to lean into that. And to me, that's magic. You know, I always want to be on the team where it's 1 + 1 = 3. You know, and just like we each give so much and we trust so much and we hold ourselves and each other accountable so much that we are a little bit more. And that's where I feel like the opportunity in the competitive landscape is for me. I think within companies, it's got to be the same. People, you know, and it's just human nature. We're all competing. We all want the win. We all want to be the best. But people just forget that you have to nurture the team relationships you have, and the way you nurture that, I believe, is that you hold yourself accountable. There's a book that I love, Lead Yourself First. And the best leaders in the history of the world took time in solitude, were really thoughtful and mindful of who they were, who they wanted to be, and how they wanted to lead. They became that, and they inspired other people to do the same. And I think that's why Jordan was so rad. He led himself first, and therefore he could hold everyone accountable. And that's so powerful. So the relationship side of everything has been the most meaningful. I can't have a great relationship with anyone unless I have a good one with myself, you know, and I'm the biggest a-hole to myself, and I'm really working on that. I think that's part of what makes me great, but also at this point, it's exhausting and I don't want to do that. I believe there's a better way to go about things than being super self-critical. But no, it's just, that's where the magic's at. I know that 100%. I was raised with that. And so, yeah, I would just encourage everyone on this call to nurture your team, you know, and it's like love is a verb, you know, being a teammate is a verb. And you show up every day, you know, leadership is consistency. And so I think that's just a great way to kind of look at relationships.
The beauty of this is there, I can ask you a million questions off of just that comment, but I'm trying to stay focused and not lead you down a rabbit hole. So your most important relationship, your husband, mm-hmm. He was also a very successful volleyball player, not to your level. I'm sure that's constantly brought up in your house. Where did you meet? Was it like the movie Love and Basketball, but Love and Volleyball? And what was his pickup line?
What a good movie. You know, my husband, I've never beat him and I never will. And he's incredible and it pisses me off. And he told me, like, we played each other, you know, say 30 times in our relationship. We've been together about 20 years and I've never beat him and I've come close, but I never have. And at one point he's like, babe, you know, I'm not going hard, like my hardest against you. And I was like, what? Come again? But of course he's not, you know, cause he skies and he's so powerful and he's playing the game within the game with me. But that was, I just want to share that cause it pissed me off, but it's like, I should have known, you know, it's like me when I play my son, like I let him get that close and I'm like, no, you know, and I'm holding back. So anyhow, but my husband, I met him my first day. I was trying out with Misty May on the beach, like having a heart attack, like literal panic attack. So nervous. Couldn't see anything outside of the volleyball and Misty. And we played against Casey. And Casey and I became professionals at the same time. I think we became friends right away. I fell in love right away. We moved in after like 3 weeks. Sorry for the gentleman who has a daughter there. I didn't tell my parents for 2 years. I'm a good Catholic girl, but Casey's awesome. He grew up in Vegas. And if you know anyone who grew up in Vegas, they're different. You know, it colors his world. I grew up, you know, in a bubble. And so we're like polar opposites of how we see the world, which is beautiful. Largely, sometimes it's hard. But no, he's everything. We've been through everything together, you know, like the ultimate peaks of heaven. And then we've been to the depths of hell together. We've worked really hard to come out of it. And we have 3 beautiful children now. And Casey's now my coach. He's my co-founder at P1440, our company. And so we have a very fully loaded plate and we're working through it. You know, what we're learning, and I don't know if you guys can relate, like me at least, I work really, really well on my own and then I come together to the team, you know, and that's just how I've always done it. I think being a big family, like you do go do your thing, do it well, no excuses, come back and feed the team. But my husband wants to do everything together. And I love that. I don't know how to do that. I really don't. And I don't know what that says about me, but if you guys have any tips on how to kind of merge those, I'd appreciate it.
You talked about vulnerability and pain and the depths of hell together and independently.
Yeah.
Give us a little insight in a couple of those moments where you felt like it was rock bottom, because I'm sure most people on the surface think you've had the perfect life and there's never been anything wrong. Let us into some of the things that have been maybe challenges that you've had to overcome.
Yeah, you know, personally, my life has been a fairy tale. It's been so beautiful, like literally. I've suffered a lot of loss, a lot of death. And I did this podcast the other day and I felt compelled to share it because I get called naive and Pollyanna, and people look at my life and on paper and they're like, oh my God, you know, she is as blessed as she is. And I truly am. But, and I don't want this to be too gnarly, but like I've dealt with, like, very closely to me, murder twice, rape, financial ruin, loss of a sibling, you know, my parents going through really gnarly stuff in their relationship, my husband telling me he wants a divorce. You know, that's the life side of it. Like, I've been through so much and my life is so beautiful, you know, and I know my faith plays a huge part in that. My mom goes to church every day. You know, I was raised Catholic. I believe it's one God, one creator. We're all the same. I think that's beautiful. That's gotten me through a lot. Within my relationship with my husband, you know, when I was going for my third Olympics, my second goal with Misty, I was just so end result focused, so focused on that gold medal that literally we won the gold in Athens in 2004. That night, the only thing I could think about was 4 years from now winning that gold medal. And so those 4 years, I improved a lot. I was so focused. Misty and I, my partner and I, were very tight, but I lost connection to my husband. And I was traveling the world. You know, our lives, I'm on the road a lot. You know, and so you have to work really hard to stay connected. And I just took it for granted, you know, and at some point I lost connection with my husband. The letters I was sending, the phone calls, you know, those weren't enough. And I didn't realize the depth of the hurt that my husband was going through. So win the gold medal, get pregnant right away with our first boy. And I'm literally a couple days overdue with our first son. And my husband's like, I'm out of here. I cannot do this anymore. We're too different. You don't care. You don't hear me. You know, like, you say you love me, but you don't show me. And that led us on, and it was a long time coming, you know, I'd say a year plus before kind of that happened. And that led us on just a reconciliation mission. You know, for so long, both of us were pointing fingers at each other, you know, and at some point I realized that that wasn't going to work. I need to kind of point at myself, not be a victim of the situation, just get to work. And that has served me in every relationship. You know, I never want to be the one pointing the finger. I never want to be a victim. And the second you point a finger, obviously you're the victim and you have no accountability and no way to move forward if you're, you know, putting the onus on someone else. And so that time, which was so gnarly, you know, has led us to a beautiful time. Right now we're a little tense in the house, so I don't want to say it's perfect, but we work through things and we stick together, and it's rad. You know, after 20 years, we fight over the same thing still, but we're still working through it and we're getting to layers and layers and layers below it, you know? But I adore him with all my heart. He's a really amazing human, and it takes an amazing partner, an amazing man to lift up your woman the way he has. You know, prior to the last Olympics, he said, babe, I hope you know my goal and my dream and all this is to you know, for you to win a gold medal. I will do anything. And it just floored me. And it was so selfless because he was one of the best in the world. He missed the Olympics twice by this much. He was the number three American team and they only take two twice. And he's always wanted that, you know? So now I'm on a mission for many reasons, but I want to, and I gave him my bronze medal after we won in Rio, and the plan was to give him the gold. But we fell short. But I'm kind of glad we fell short because that bought me 4 more years to grow myself, to become better. Now he's our coach, and now he can earn his own gold medal in Tokyo, and it's awesome.
Welcome to the intermission. Kit, who's this group for? Is it for Super Bowl champs?
Check.
How about cross-country skiers?
Check.
How about Olympic synchronized swimmers?
Triple check.
So it sounds like anybody who has an athlete's mindset or mentality could qualify here.
Quadruple check, Justin. This group is a rocket fuel powered community for former athletes to use their state of mind to succeed in the sport of business.
So talking about your kids, you have 3 kids that obviously they're the light of your life. What is pre-kids volleyball versus post-kids volleyball look like, and then how do you teach them about your success on or off the field? Like, what are the things that you focus on most with them?
Well, just ideally being present. You know, being present cures all sorts of sins, you know, and that's just where life and joy and love is at. And I'm gone a lot, you know, and so if I can be in the moment with them, even if it's a short time, then it's like we're there for days and we're always on vacation. So that's always my goal, is to be present, to lead with love, and just to be like, and so I want to kind of basically do what my parents did for me, which was be the role models that I needed to see, you know, and to me, that's how I learn best. I don't like being told what to do because it makes me have questions and I resist it. Like this COVID time, I'm pissed off. Like, don't tell me what to do. Where are the rules so I can push them and break them? But now I feel like it's so weird. So anyhow, I just want to be the best role model I can be. And I feel like that's the best way to guide my children. They can see me fail. They can see me succeed. They can see me work really hard. And they're on my team. You know, they know very clearly they're on my team and this doesn't happen without them, because this was a family decision, because it's so gnarly, you know, and my husband's, you know, the captain of the ship, thank goodness. But my boys are both 10 today. We have two 10-year-olds in the house, the same age for 3 days. My daughter's 7 and they're incredible. They're all incredible and so unique in their way. Our son, Joey, he's our oldest, and he literally, I mean, Jordan just went up the ladder again, but Joey's my favorite athlete of all time. And it's shocking the presence he has, the confidence he has. It's literally Jordan-esque in a 10-year-old expression. I want it. So he's who I look to, truly.
Yep. And then your others, are they also showing the promise?
Yes. They're just different. They're so different. You know, Sundance, Joey gets it like this. He's like Casey, like my husband. He's so balanced. He's hungry. He's focused. He's playful. Sundance is more like me. You know, he's gonna be 8 feet tall and he's long and lean. He's like Bambi, and my brain and my body need 1,000 reps to get the basics down. And Sundance is more like that. He's driven, he's focused. We call him a shaman. Like, he is an old soul. Sometimes he's a mystic. You're like, where the hell are you, kid? Like, come back here. So he's a beautiful combination of really unique things. And Scouty's just, she's Wonder Woman. You know, like, she literally, Wonder Woman came out, we went and watched it, and she demanded that we change her name to Diana Prince. And I said, we can't do that, babe. It really upset me because I love her name. Her name is Scout Marjorie. I was like, no. But yeah, Scout's incredible. You know, she's a great combination of the boys, and she's uniquely herself. She knows who she is and what she wants. And that's a great thing for a woman to have, you know?
See, one more question on the role model aspect. Obviously, you're a role model at home and you relish that role. What is it like to be a role model for people that you don't even know, that you haven't met, or kids all over the world? Have you always embraced it, or has it been somewhat of a difficulty carrying that kind of weight?
I love it. There's a sense of accountability that it gives me. You know, it makes me want to be who people think I am, the best side that people see of me. It's really inspiring and aspirational. I remember who my role models were, and very powerful humans to me. And so the fact that I could be like that for some people, that's a beautiful gift. It's easier to be a role model out of the house than in the house. That's for sure. You know, it's like, the challenging thing about parenting is that it's constant 24/7, you know, 365 for life. And, you know, they see the best of me, but they see the worst of me too. You know, when I get on these calls, you know, obviously, like, I love sharing the hard stuff, you know, and like when I first meet someone, like, I'm so insecure in myself. I like want to point out every pimple. I want to point out that I have a potty mouth. I want to point out like all of my faults and just be like, hey, you see me now? Can we be friends? You know, I want people to know that stuff about me. And so it's interesting being a role model, because it kind of makes me insecure. You know, it's just kind of like my past successes make me insecure. Like, I want to be good now. I want to win now, all these things. And, you know, when I'm a parent, I just, you know, it's just more visible, your faults, and they call you out, which they should. But the level of accountability on both sides is beautiful. And it just, again, makes me want to be better.
You got disenchanted with the AVP. You said, I'm done with the AVP, or I don't like the injustice. Talk about that, and then how that led to you and your husband starting P1440.
Sure. Well, you know, it was just sad. It was a sad realization that we couldn't settle for status quo anymore, you know, and fundamentally, it's just the AVP wanted us to sign an exclusive contract. The money's this big. They only had 8 events, but they wanted to own us for 365. you know, all year round. If we wanted to go play somewhere else, you'd have to ask for permission. If you wanted to have a clinic on your own, you had to ask for permission. Like, they owned us, yet we were independent contractors. You pay to work. So it's just like, wonderful, you guys exist. Let's fight for non-exclusivity because we need to live. And they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't negotiate. And so it's like, okay, instead of just trying to beat a dead horse, we're going to leave, you know, like, we don't want to. This is heartbreaking. We love this brand. We helped build it. It's in our DNA. But management, it was just too hard with the owner. And so we left with no plans, just believing that other tour promoters, because we were negotiating the contract as a collective, and other tour promoters like, Carrie, if you can talk to the athletes and let them know if they're non-exclusive, we could have more events. We just can't when you're exclusive. The brands won't show up. We need to pay for these things. And so we had these conversations and we had these great this great confidence that something more would coming if we were unleashed. So everyone signed, you know, they were just basically, for lack of a better phrase, there's a gun put to their head saying, sign or we're going to fold the tour. People couldn't afford that. Casey and I could, thank goodness. We left and then just opportunity fell on our lap. You know, our founders, Dave and Kasia Mays, they're like, hey, we love the sport. We see the opportunity. We see the numbers here in America and globally. Let's talk. And so we sat down and talked and it's just like, what could this be? You know we want to scale. We know events are super expensive. We know we need to be digital. So let's get to work on this. And we did. In our first year, we were very heavy on the event side, lost a lot of money, but we got ourselves a brand. Our events are incredible. Our whole philosophy is built on the 1440 minutes in the day. You know, because having almost lost our marriage, we learned that in marriage counseling, you only have 1440 in a day. What are you going to do with them? The power of anything is in the moment, whether you're an athlete, a parent, whatever it is. And so we wanted to start this company that the heart was volleyball, indoor and beach, but it was a universal message that can apply to anybody and it's evergreen. And also for me in my life, I know that my body, mind, spirit connection allows for the greatest part of me to show up no matter what I'm doing. You know, if I'm only focusing on my body, then my brain is going to be soft. If I'm only focusing on my spirit, you know, then I'm just going to be weak, you know, physically. So I have to have the merger of those three. That Trinity is really special. And again, I want sustained excellence. Sustained excellence is when your practices are sustainable and when you're hitting those three buckets and you're mindful of how you live. And so 1440 was built out of that, you know, heartbreak and just a belief that our sport deserves more. The athletes deserve more. The kids growing up in the sport are overburdened. They're stressed out. They're chasing a college scholarship when they're 9 and 10 years old. And we want to put the play back into it. And we want to give people choices. You know, if you only have one choice and you're a slave to that one choice, you know, and we believe in abundance and we're creating new pies. You know, volleyball has been kept so small because it's like there's a mentality of there's one pie and it's finite. And we each have this one slice and don't take too much. And we don't believe in that. We're creating new pies, you know, and for Tani, like she's in our dev program. That makes me so proud that you're in that. Like we're servicing the semi pros who want to transition to professionals. You know, we're servicing the juniors, trying to get them to think about the game holistically, you know, and everyone's like, how do we become great? How do I separate myself? And our answer every time is focus on the ABCs. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear that they're supposed to work on their vertical and they have to hit harder and do these things. And it's like, no. Master the fundamentals and you could level up every single time. And to me, that is true in every trade, you know, and it's just not sexy. But Kobe was so rad. Jordan was so rad. Mia Hamm, Misty, me, we show up every day and we focus on the basics. And that allows us to get creative and weird. But without that foundation, we're nothing, you know. So that's what we're trying to do at 1440. It's a paradigm shift. We want to bring the, you know, expand the market. The sport is 800 to 900 million globally. We're a top five sport in the world. Incredible. Everyone's dead broke, you know, and at least within the sport, but it's gangbusters, you know, in so many ways. So there's opportunity there and we're just going to have fun building the game.
So we'll wrap up here and sorry if we couldn't get to other people's questions, unless you play five more Olympics, which I guess is possible. Where are you and where is volleyball in say 10 to 15 years?
Well, for me, I'm just going to keep getting better and better. I won't paint the visual because who knows what that's going to look like. But inside, I will keep getting better and better. The sport is gangbusters. You know, I believe we could have a tour like the ATP where the athletes are making a killing, where we reverse the fact that we're an Olympic sport, but we're a perennial sport. You know, we are all year, every year, not just once every 4 years. I think the Pro Tour at here in America will be strong. I think the Pro Tour nationally will be strong. I believe there'll be a Pro Indoor Tour here. The collegiate game is gangbusters. You know, there are 18 scholarships in volleyball right now, 12 indoor, 6 beach. That's ginormous. The men's game is growing. And so I just, you know, ideally the business side of the sport picks up. You know, if you go into Dick's, even though our demographic is so powerful, they spend a lot of money, the space for volleyball is this big. It's shocking to me. It makes no sense. And so my mission is to expand those shelves, get the markets there. And, you know, with service is a huge part of that. You know, people want to be part of things that are changing people's lives. Sport is transformative. Sport is real, as you guys all know. And we're doing that within P1440. And it feels really meaningful. What we did wrong in year one, we wanted to buy a brand, because we're just like, now we got to be big. We got to do this. But we were reminded that you have to build it brick by brick. And the relationships are the most important part. And that's the only reason why we still exist, is because my husband and I do have sincere relationships in the game. It's always been a give and take. We're imperfect, but there's always been sincere, you know, reciprocity in how we do our lives. And I think that's why 1440 is able to maneuver after a really hard year too. We're focused on the juniors now on the digital side, and we're growing.
That's so amazing. I mean, I wish we could do another hour, but we'll have to have you back, maybe post COVID and maybe post Olympics too. We didn't get to talk about the next Olympics, but we'll let you go. We got you out on time. Everyone,
I'm so sorry. I have to leave.
Clap or mute clap for Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie.
Another great story in the books. Who's inspired with me? Kent, where do people go from here?
God, Justin, I'm so glad you asked me that question. Everybody today, we're so excited to have you on this show. If you're interested in our Rocket Fuel Accelerator, if you'd like to join membership at Athletes Touch, go to our awesome website at www.athletestouch.co, and we'll see you soon. If you want to look us up on our social handles, LinkedIn and Twitter, Athletes Touch, @Athletes Touch. Thanks, guys.